Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
I share it every time I see it. That little video clip from the movie, was it A Bug's Life or was it something other than that? But the cricket who's talking to the other, grasshoppers. The grasshoppers were talking to the other grasshoppers and they're like, it's just that one puny ant. Just the one ant. And he mocks them and then he says, it's just one. Is it really just one? That's the attitude that I believe is a silent war raging. And as leaders, if we don't engage that war, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt. I've got a story from this weekend that I'm going to share with you today in this episode of Leading Leaders. Stay tuned. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast, and this weekend I experienced the ant theory in full practice. Yeah, saw it happen. You know, if you've ever seen that movie, again, I believe it's A Bug's Life, and the ants are battling against the grasshoppers, and the big grasshoppers, I mean, they're several times the size, and they're mean, and they can fight, and they're trained warriors, and there's lots of them, and they have these hardened shells around them that make them almost undefeatable. But when there's a little encounter between one ant who stood up and refused to comply, the rest of the ants kind of got a notion, but the grasshoppers first said, we cannot tolerate that. Do not let them stand up. They outnumber us 100-1, is what the leading grasshopper told them after he buried them all in the illustration of, it's just one when it's attacking you, and just one when it's attacking you, and just one when it's attacking you. But when they all get loose, and he buried them all in kernels of grain and said, this is what happens when they all rise up because they outnumber us 100-1. I will share that on my social media post every time I see that little clip show up. I don't care who posts it, because the reality is true. There's a whole lot of nonsense that happens with the powerless but power-hungry minutia of persons who label themselves elite. In their mind, they believe they're better than everybody else. They believe they have the power, they have the authority, even if it's self-proclaimed, to manipulate everything else that goes on around us. And it happens from kindergarten all the way up. We've seen kids get expelled from school for wearing the wrong kind of shirt, the kind of shirt that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, specifically protects. A young man who was expelled from school for having, how dare he, an American flag on the back of his pickup at a high school in a small town in a state located in America. There's something wrong with someone who would say that shouldn't be there. Look, if you live in the country and you live in the benefits of the nation, be grateful, not resentful. Be thankful that there is such a place where you can come from anywhere and your opportunities exponentially grow. Now, if you've been raised here under this brainwashed nonsense that America is the biggest criminal on the face of the earth, I'm not saying America is flawless, but I am saying I've been to Brazil, I've been to Cuba, I've been to the Congo, I've been to Honduras, I've been to these places where you can die because your hair looks funny. You can be arrested because you said one thing wrong. The First Amendment is not a global thing. The right to free speech does not exist in every nation. And in America, it's being trampled out day by day. Just the idea that you could rise up and say, excuse me, I don't think that was right. I noticed that this happened and it wasn't fair. But see, it happens from kindergarten kids wearing the wrong kind of shirt to school, to high school projects where they're told to write on a specific topic. And when they do, based on their view of that topic, they get expelled from school. But the school, they can expel them for 3 days. And if it's only a 3-day suspension, the parents can't even protest the suspension until it's after 10 days. So we can punish your child. We can make your child feel like their voice doesn't matter. We can make your child feel small and insignificant. We can ostracize them in the sight of all of their peers. And yet, because we didn't push it to the maximum limit of 10 days, as parents, you have nothing to say about this. I witnessed this circumstance this weekend, and I was furious. I was furious not just because I knew some of the participants that were involved, but I was furious because the process wasn't, you know, a few years back, you might have noted a very famous person, more famous in their own eyes than anybody else in the world, but to them, mightily important, who made the statement in front of multiple cameras and on multiple occasions, what difference does it even make at this point? And other times they phrased that exactly the opposite and said, at this point, what difference does it really make? Here was the reference, though. They were talking about 13 dead soldiers and a dead ambassador whose lives were ended over nonsense, over lies, over straight-up corruption in the highest places. Now, it's one thing when your child gets expelled from school for what they were wearing on their t-shirt. It's even worse when they're teenagers and they're trying to formulate the ideas that will drive them forward through life and they're silenced and squelched and told to shut up because their opinion doesn't fit the mainstream. The idea that they would actually have a free thought, a notion of their own, how dare they? And yet we have these wonder people like Miss, not even old enough to be married yet, how dare they, from our foreign nations, who wants to tell us that carbon is a problem. Trust me, you are the carbon they're trying to eliminate. Depopulation is the end game of this whole goal. In the process, they'll make trillions of dollars because it's all about the manipulation of the flow of cash. Not the petroleum people anymore, but a new class of super wealthy people. Yeah, it's all about control and it's all about wealth. And if you think I'm crazy, do some more homework. It is a never-ending cycle. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Too much money corrupts. I love this, testifying in front of the Senate. A young man, obviously a movie star, you could tell by the way he looks and carries himself, is asked the question, do you know what carbon dioxide is? To which he says, you know, I'm only a high school graduate. Yeah, because you're not even old enough to be in college yet. I'm surprised you're old enough to graduate from high school. National spokesman on global warming. What? Can't describe carbon dioxide and its interaction with the world any more than to say, I believe in high school science, I learned it's a gas. Expert right there, baby. We need to base all of our future on that. So the next question that was asked is, well, how much of our natural atmosphere is carbon dioxide? He said, oh, it's most of it. No. 2 to 5%, depending on the expert you ask. 2 to 5%. Where does it come from? I don't know. I'm not an expert. Okay, well, if we take all the measures you're encouraging us to take, by all your social media explanations and your push to convince young people to get rid of everything that looks like petroleum, to move toward everything that looks like renewable energy. You mean the cobalt mines, the nickel mines, the ones in foreign nations where kids younger than you are enslaved to mine what's necessary to run an electric car? Those renewable resources, they come out of the ground just like the oil does. They came from the same origin. They're equally as replaceable. The lie that it's renewable energy is the biggest farce. But the fact that our international spokespersons are 20 years old and brainwashed into this philosophy goes right back to the same problem we're talking about now. And that is, if you are involved in the conversation which propels one specific ideology, you'll be promoted if you're absolutely ignorant, as long as you're saying the right thing. The next question the senator asked the young person was, let's say we did, between now and 2050, get to a net zero emissions of carbon dioxide in the United States. What would it cost, and to what degree would it impact the global warming issue? To which the young man had zero answers. No, I'm not shocked. We have had climate scientists testify in front of Congress with exactly the same answers. I don't know. If we spent trillions, I don't know. There's no proof. By the way, for what it's worth, the largest emitter of carbon dioxide on Earth is we humans. But you know where it goes? Into everything green. Not green technology, no. Green plants. Trees, not the plastic ones that you put in the corner in a pot. But the real trees. The big ones outside. They breathe in carbon dioxide and they breathe out. You ready for this? Huge shocker. I know you're not going to believe this. Oxygen. Which we kind of need to live. And every time we mow down trees and pour asphalt over it to build tall buildings to do commerce, we limit our ability to breathe oxygen, and we limit the ability to take in the carbon dioxide that we as humans expel. Health class. Freshman year of high school. This is not complicated stuff. But when you can brainwash people by saying, you'll comply with the ideology that this is great and that is horrible, that we've got to have green energy, but we cannot be loyal to the nation we live in. We have a dichotomy of controlled thought. This is the silent war waging in your household right now, and you probably don't even know it. Because every time your child is on a social media platform, depending on the algorithm of who's actually looking, I know you don't believe this either, but the algorithms of many of the social media platforms, including and specifically YouTube Kids, uses the eyesight camera on your iPad or your iPhone to determine who is watching the content before it determines what content is delivered. Yes, facial recognition. That's how you logged into your phone. But once you open it and hand it to your toddler, the device and the algorithm of the app know who's watching. Read the fine print. It's all in there. And they deliver content specifically designed to make sure that this ideology is promoted and this one is dispelled as myth, false, fact-checked as inaccurate. Fact-check the fact-checker sometimes. That'll infuriate you. So along the same spirit of what difference does it really make now anyway, over 13 dead soldiers and an ambassador? That kind of pervasive attitude that said, well, you know, we thought there was, big word, can't even say it, Smelection broad. Figure it out. Can't say it. They'll censor my video for saying it. We thought there was some from 2000 all the way through 2016, especially in 2016. It was huge in 2016. All those mail-in ballots, can't even trust them. Those machines, can't trust them. They've been used in criminality all over the world, says one political party. The same political party that said, what difference does it even make right now? But 4 years later, the same curiosity of, well, is it possible that the system was kind of not exactly smelection broad proof? Well, no. In fact, if you just bring it up, you'll be canceled. You're not allowed to talk about that. Like the parent whose child is suspended from school for having an American flag or making a statement according to the school project they were assigned. But you can't say anything about it because we only suspended them for 3 days. We're going to manipulate the form of justice until it's just enough pressure that you crack. Jafar said it. You'll be surprised what you can live through. Somebody told me the other day it wasn't Jafar who said that. It was somebody else. I'll have to think of his name, though. I've always remembered it as Jafar. Perhaps that's the Mandela effect, and I don't remember the name of the character right, but I remember the line in the movie. He said, you can't kill a genie. He said, I know, but you'll be surprised what you can live through. It was the red bird. I know that for a fact, but Jafar may have been the anti-genie. I digress. Do I? I don't know. Who's the character who's lying to you most? Yeah, let that one sink in for a minute. And then ask yourself, what difference does it really make at this point anyway? We've been manipulating and brainwashing your kids since they were kindergarten, all the way up through graduating from high school and now into college. We have college kids who can't tell you what carbon dioxide is, but by golly, they'll protest in the streets. They'll even go to jail for it. They'll burn down buildings, flip over cars. And then they'll tell you that the biggest threat in the coming days are local homegrown American-born terrorists, whatever those are, and global warming migration. What? Yeah, migration based on global warming. Ugh, I can't even get my mind around some of this silliness. But we haven't quite got the hook yet. The hook for me was when I realized that this isn't just happening in the media. It's not just happening on TikTok and Facebook and Meta and all the other social media influences that come through the digital devices into the minds of your child when they know that it's your child watching and not you. Because if you look over your over their shoulder and your face shows up in that camera, the content will change. If you don't believe me, look it up. Plenty of stories about that have been all over social media and the news where people say, yeah, my child was saying something and I overheard it and I walked in the room and I was like, where did you get that? And she held up the video. And while the camera saw me, it changed what was on the screen and then went back. So we sat across the room with a mirror where it couldn't recognize us and watch what she was watching, and we were horrified. True story. It's in the news. Well, I guess it's true if it's in the news, right? Figure that one out. But I watched a football game. 8-year-olds. Yeah. They're not even wearing pads. They don't even have flags. There's not blocking. There's no tackling. They throw the ball and they touch each other. Not big, giant contact sports. Nobody's going to get hurt. Well, they're not supposed to. It's a really simple strategies game. It's a pass and go kind of a game. Now, but they have a Super Bowl, they have a championship, and these kids have been at it all day. And I watched these 8-year-olds win their first game, 24-0. But then they come up against another team, and we rotate out refs. And when they rotate out refs, they've got one ref on each sideline. There's no line judge in the middle of the field. There's just a ref on each sideline. And through the course of the game, it's supposed to be 3 downs and then a turnover, not 4 downs. It's 3 downs and then a turnover. If you don't get a first down after 3, it's turnover. This is how they speed the game up. Halftime is 3 minutes. They don't even leave the field. They walk to the other end and they start over. That's it. That's halftime. This is not a super complicated game. They keep score. They have touchdowns. They have first downs. They have some penalties like delay of game and things of that nature, unnecessary roughness if kids get shoved or punched or something of that nature. If they actually do get tackled, they're not supposed to be. But through the course of this game, I watched the two refs on either side of the field with no agreement as to what was right. On multiple occasions, we saw the third down marker, the third down marker, the third down marker, and yet the other team kept getting another play. It's third down. Okay, if they don't get the first down on this play, it's a turnover. It goes back to the first team. No, third down. Third down again. Third down again. Was there a penalty called? No, just it's another third down. Why do they get another third down? Well, they just get another third down. After several occasions of this, and then a third down that became a first down, even though one ref was clearly on the other side of the first down marker and the other ref was clearly not where the kid was touched as down. But that first down, after 3 consecutive 4th downs when they were only supposed to get 3, led to the touchdown, which became the go-ahead touchdown. And at that point, the team on the sideline where I was standing asked the ref, what's the actual score right now? To which he answered, I don't know. Then he started recounting what he had. And after an argument in the middle of the field, still didn't know. He's arguing with the other ref about which down it is. He finally submits to the other ref and goes with what the ref on the other side of the team says. And obviously it's third down. No, I mean, it's first down, because we're gonna give them the fourth third down and then the first down and then the score. And the ref on this side of the field did everything the ref on the other side said. When the coach on the side of the field where I was sitting said to the ref, that's not fair to these boys and you know it. They're not doing anything wrong. They got penalized 10 yards. When they said to the ref again, how many times are you going to cheat our boys by manipulating the rules of the game? There is no 10-yard penalty in this game. There's no interference where the ball's marked at the spot. The worst penalty in the game is 2.5 yards because they're only playing on a 50-yard field. 10 yards penalized for back-talking the ref. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's not enough. We got to add a little more insult to injury. When another coach, who's also a parent of a player, said to the ref, we really need to have a discussion about this. This is not fair to these kids. The ref said, just get over it. Just get over it. Teach your boys to just get over it. What do you, wait, so what are you saying is, live with the injustice, be okay with the injustice, be okay with the fact that we've got 20-somethings who will burn a city to the ground, flip over cop cars, put people's lives in danger, injure people intentionally, and get out of jail after 2 hours. While we've got other people who walked in the wrong geofenced zone, were tracked down by their cell phone numbers, and are still in jail 4 years later, having not committed a crime that's worth charging. Just get over it. We're indoctrinating our young people at 8 and 9 years old. Just get over it. Whatever I say goes. We'll add one more insult to injury. Actually, two more insults to injury before I wrap this up. One of the parents, when the game was finally over, everything was done, it was decided, the team on the side where I was seated lost. The other side won the championship, the Super Bowl. They get the big trophy and they all get rings. Yeah, they're 8 Super Bowl champions with giant rings at 8. I digress. One of the parents, not a coach, not a team representative, just a concerned parent, walks up to the ref and says, "Can you help me understand what happened here?" Now, I don't know what his tone of voice was. I know that was what he was asking. I couldn't hear from where I was, which was about 8 feet away, which tells me it wasn't really loud. To which the ref turns to the site director who runs the entire football league and says, "Have this man ejected." To which the site director calls 3 armed guards to the parent who wants to ask the ref, "How did this game end this way?" Got people who work for the field sitting in golf carts outside the fence going, "We saw exactly what happened. We agree with the parents on this side. That was unjust." But because he dared challenge the authority of a referee who is a part-time contract laborer under this league, he was asked to be ejected from the field under armed guard, escorted all the way to the parking lot, nary a stop at the men's room. That's what the director asked for. So I decided on my way out the gate to stop at the gate and get a business card of the executives of this entire organization, because I'm really not happy with the indoctrination that has permeated everything right down to little boys' football. And while I'm standing at the tent waiting for someone to produce a business card or some kind of contact information for the high levels executives so I can make a call, the ref from the other side of the field, the one who decided how many third downs that side got and how many points they actually had and kind of made things up by the seat of his pants, I heard this with my own ears. I witnessed it with my own eyes. Walked up to the lady who was handing out the Super Bowl rings, and he looked her in the eye and he said, "Is there a trophy or an award for the most valuable ref?" What? You're going to get rewarded because you know that you rigged the game? Are you kidding me? What difference does it really make at this point? They're 8. They'll get over it. One of the coaches said, "Well, the refs will always decide the game, but you've just got to outplay the refs. You've got to have so many points they can't do anything against you." And I'm thinking, I have witnessed this since my boys, who are now in their mid-20s, played upward basketball. That's a church league, in case you're curious. And I watched the refs rig the game by calling penalties that don't exist. A little bit of power gone to the head of someone who feels like they can enforce. Oh, I can add one more just for fun to you. Saturday morning, I'm the MC for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation's big annual event, fundraiser, $120,000 raised. As I'm pulling up to the gate, there's a handicapped woman with a cane and a splint on her leg asking to go through the gate that's nearest to the parking lot because she's a volunteer for. She said, "If I can just get out, I'll have my son drive the car to the regular parking area." He said, "Nobody drives down this road." And I'm watching this confrontation as I'm sitting behind them with my car fully loaded with sound equipment going, I'm not walking a half a mile carrying my sound equipment back and forth. We got so much stuff in here, we didn't have room for a dolly. I pulled up to the gate. Another officer saw me. I said, "I'm the DJ for the cystic fibrosis event." They moved the barricade, let me roll right through. I was completely set up with sound on before this woman with a cane and a handicapped leg and a splint made her way from the vendor volunteer parking lot to the event. That's a power trip, my friends. There is no human logic in that kind of behavior. But I have a badge, and I was told what to do, and I will make up the rules as I go. And that's the kind of nonsense that we're telling our kids, just get over it. Don't rise up. Don't be the million ants. Don't be the 100 to 1. Just get over it. Let it go. Let it slide. It's not that big a deal anyway. If we as leaders are not vocal enough to stand up and go, this is nonsense and it needs to stop right now, if we're not willing to cry out against the injustice that our young people are suffering today, they won't know how. When the little gold stars are stuck on their chest and it's not for a success, it's to identify them as the outcast. It's your job, mom and dad. It's your job, low school leaders. It's your job, if you're a communicator, to use the voice you've been given, to use the reasoning that you've been given, and speak out against injustice. And I don't mean the social injustice nonsense that we've been manipulated into believing and buying. I don't mean the global warming nonsense that we've been... That's not the kind of injustice I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who abuse authority, who live with the power of corruption, who know that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And the more power you give them, the more corrupt they will become. It is time to rise up and speak the truth. I'm J. Lauren Norris for Leading Leaders Podcast on Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.